So today I will talk about the perturbation avalanche in bypass transition in the boundary layer flow. This work is contributed by Dr. Dandan Xiao from Nottingham, Dr. Tamazaki from Johns Hopkins, and Professor Fazli Hussain from TTU. So I will address a few items like the introduction of transition nonlinear lift up mechanism, the optimal route from free stream disturbance to bypass transition, and our most recent work, the perturbation cascade in flow around a vibrating plate. So here we take into account the vibration effect. So firstly, I will introduce the main topic today, that is the bypass transition. So normally we have two forms of transition, the orderly one and the bypass one. The orderly transition starts from two-dimensional TS waves, then they lose stability, becomes three-dimensional, then they break down to turbulence. Well, for bypass transition, we start from three-dimensional structures. These are the high and low speed velocity streaks. Then those streaks lose stability, which is called secondary instability. Then those secondary instability, when they mature, the streaks will break down to turbulence. So here is a conventional understanding of the bypass transition. We start from low frequency free stream noise. Then when this noise reaches the flat plate, our the turbine blade, it will be tilted by the leading edge to generate some structures similar as stream-wise vorticity. Then the base shear will be tilted due to the lift-up mechanism to generate low and high-speed velocity streaks. Then those streaks will be further perturbed by high-frequency noise. Then due to the secondary instability of the streaks, they show some kind of meandering motion, then break down to turbulence. So here you can see that in this conventional understanding, there are two forms of free stream noise, a low frequency one and a high frequency one. They enter the boundary layer to contribute to bypass transition at a different stage. It is thought that the streaks will just lose instability and develops to turbulence. So in this work, I will show that between this stage, between the secondary instability and the turbulence, there's actually another stage. We can call it a tertiary instability. So here is a brief introduction of secondary instabilities. So here you can say the streaks show some meandering motion and the wavelength is around 10 times of the boundary layer thickness. So secondary instability has been intensively discussed. So here I will mainly address three questions. So firstly, why are low speed streaks above the high speed ones? So here we will explain it as a nonlinear lift up mechanism in contrast to the well-known linear lift up. And secondly, what is the optimal route from inflow noise to bypass transition? So here I will show that the interaction of multiple secondary waves other than the saturation of the most unstable one will lead to bypass transition most effectively. The last one, is there a cascade of instabilities in bypass transition? We know that there are a cascade of structures in turbulence or in vortex flow. So here we will show that in bypass transition, there are primary, secondary, and tertiary instabilities. Okay, so there will be two configurations used in this work. So the first one is a flat plate with a sharp leading edge. On the bottom, I showed the base flow, which is two-dimensional. The second geometry is a compressor blade cascade. So here we use a Reynolds number 138,000. So this is the two-dimensional base flow. So you can say we divide the flow to three parts. Well, in zone three, we will have bypass transition. So we will focus on this part only. Then we will address the first question, why the low-speed streaks are above the high-speed ones. This is due to the nonlinear lift-up mechanism. So here I just typed the main steps of the algorithm. So firstly, we compute a two-dimensional base flow through DNS. Then we compute the adjoint equation and the linearized equation to obtain the linearized optimal initial condition. Also, we can use adjoint and the Lagrangian method to compute the nonlinear optimal inflow perturbation with a single frequency or with multiple frequencies. That is the latest version of the code we are developing. So basically, this is to say that we can calculate the most energetic form of the disturbance, no matter it is an initial condition or a boundary condition. So here's boundary condition, I mean the inflow noise. Then for example one, the boundary layer flow, so here we use the streaks to illustrate the linear lift, linear and nonlinear lift-up mechanism. We know that when we have stream-wise vorticity, they will tilt the boundary layer and generate low and high speed velocity streaks. So here the blue color represents low speed streaks and red represents the high speed streaks. You can see that when we have a low turbulent intensity, we have only red one here, then behind it, we will have the blue one. They just overlap, so you can't say it's a blue one because they are on the, they are exactly periodic in the spanwise direction. Then when the turbulent intensity increases or when we increase the level of the noise or the disturbance, we can see that the low speed streaks are gradually lifted above the surface. In this 3D picture, you can see it clearer. The low speed streaks are obviously above the high speed ones. So if we take a cross section of the flow, we can observe such symmetric mushrooms. They grow in the streamwise direction from x equal to 90 to 110 to 170. You can see that these are mushroom structures and the low speed streaks are lifted above the high speed ones. So here is another example of the compressor blade flow. So similarly, we compute the optimal initial condition. These are in the form of stream-wisely periodic stream-wise vorticity. Then during the development, they will tilt the base flow to generate low and high speed velocity streaks. So here in this picture, in the middle, the blue and red color denotes the low and high speed velocity streaks. Then the last picture shows the further development of the disturbance. So you can see that the low speed ones are lifted above the high speed ones and they break down to turbulence, which is actually not very clear in this picture. So here, similarly, we can take the cross section and analyze the disturbance flow. We can see that similarly, we have the low speed streaks well above the high speed ones and they generate such mushroom structures. And such structures, you see that the blue color spreads to the two laterally, and this will generate an inflection point in the vertical direction. Therefore, the structures will be prone to instabilities. So here is a mechanism, is a schematic plot to explain the linear and nonlinear lift-up mechanism. So originally we have shear, then it is perturbed by such disturbances. These are stream-wise vorticity. So the flow is in the cross screen direction. Then those vorticity, those rows will disturb the base flow and generate such low and high speed velocity streaks. On the second row, we have the minus denoting the low speed streaks and the plus denoting the high speed streaks. Then if the initial disturbance is small, those streaks are also small. Therefore, there will be no interaction between the streaks and the initial stream-wise vorticity because both of them are small. And small plus small, small times small is a higher order small. So this can be neglected. However, when the initial disturbance is no longer small, the streaks will be large enough. Then they will interact with the original rows. So here, if you follow the streamlines, you can see that the low-speed streaks will be lifted and the high-speed streaks will be brought down towards the surface and they will be deformed to generate such a structure. You can see that the lateral motion of the low-speed and high-speed streaks will generate, will lead to such a vertical profile with an inflection point as shown on the bottom right picture. And such a profile will be prone to instabilities. And this is how the streaks will be lifted and lose their spine-wise periodic profile, then lose instability. We call it the nonlinear lift-up mechanism. Then our third part, this is to address the optimal route from inflow noise to bypass transition. Our conventional understanding is that we start from free stream disturbance, they will be tilted by the leading edge, then to some of them will be in the form of stream-wise vorticity or vertical disturbance. Such disturbances will tilt the base flow to generate velocity streaks. Then the velocity streaks will lose instability to high frequency noise and finally break down to turbulence. Now this is the conventional understanding. Here we want to compute the optimal form of the bypass transition to check if this conventional route is really the optimal one or if there are any more effective ones. So here I want to read the description of the algorithm. So it's something similar with the calculation of the optimal initial disturbance. Well, the main challenge is that we have to save all the full trajectory of the simulation. So this involves a large amount of data. So in the present case, one simulation requires around 30 to 40 terabytes of data. So here is the response of the boundary layer flow to the optimal inflow disturbance. So here you can say that when we run the optimal inflow disturbance longer, we have the development of bypass transition. In the first picture, we have helical vortex filaments. And in front of the first picture, we have a single hairpin vortex. Well, in the following pictures, we can see that there is a forest of hairpin vortex, vortices developing. And in the last picture, the second round of the perturbation enters the domain. So on the front half of this last picture, you can see another hairpin vortex is generated. So this because we imposed a periodic inflow condition. And this is a movie showing the response of the boundary layer to the optimal inflow disturbance. So just to clarify, we computed the most effective inflow disturbance leading to bypass transition most effectively or most quickly. This is not a free stream random noise. It is a computed one so that we can obtain bypass transition most quickly. And this is a zoom in movie to show the generation of the helical structures and the hairpin vortex, as well as the forest of the hairpin vortex. Okay, then in this picture, we analyze the components of the most effective inflow disturbance. In the x-axis, we have the frequency. In the Y, we have the normalized power spectrum. So for this optimal inflow disturbance, we can decompose its power spectrum to three parts. We have zone 0, zone 1, and zone 2. In zone 1, we actually have only one important mode, that is mode 0, with frequency 0. This is actually a steady inflow disturbance. While in zone 2, in zone 1, you can see that the frequency is around from 0.2 to 1. But this is within the secondary instability zone. In this zone, we have mode 1 and mode 2, two important waves. Then in zone two, we have high frequency noise. Okay, so here we recognize three zones and three important modes. Still will be used in the following. Such a classification is from the development, is from the profile of the power spectrum obtained at different inflow turbulent intensities. You can see that at low turbulent intensity in the first curve, all the noise, all the inflow disturbance is concentrated at mode zero. This is because in the linear range, the most effective inflow disturbance is actually in the form of streamwise vorticity. So they will be used to tilt space flow to generate streaks. Then when we have a larger inflow intensity, turbine intensity, we will have a single secondary instability appears. You can see that this is the second line. Now we have one peak appearing at frequency around 0.8. Then when we further increase the inflow intensity, turbine intensity, another mode appears that is at a frequency around 0.5. We will show later that the interaction of these two modes, mode one and mode two, will bring in bypass transition very effectively. So the bypass transition is not due to the saturation of the most unstable mode, but due to the interaction of several unstable waves. So in this picture, we show the velocity fluctuation when the inflow disturbance is switched from the first case, from zone one, zone zero and mode one to zone zero and zone one, then to the full profile, zone one, two, three. We can see that in the first picture, when we only have zone zero and mode one, then we have some kind of fluctuations. It shows that velocity streaks are generated and they lose instability. They show some kind of meandering motion. However, you can see that all the motion fluctuation at different vertical positions, y equal to 2, 3, and 4, are synchronized. So such a fluctuation is quite stable. Then if we add some more noise, you see, if we consider both mode 1 and mode 2 in zone 1, that is the interaction of the two important secondary waves, we can see that in the middle picture, at some positions, the waves are superimposed, and at some other positions, they cancel each other. So the fluctuation at different vertical positions are not synchronized. The consequence is that there will be a very strong vertical gradient, and this gradient is prone to instabilities. However, here, there are no breakdown to turbulence, but this is because we have no high frequency noise to perturb the flow, to further perturb such an unstable profile, even though it is unstable, but there's no seat for the instability to appear or to be to present itself. Then in the last picture, when we further offer the zone three noise, which is at high frequency, you can see that the profile becomes turbulent. So this shows the role of different modes, inflow disturbances in bypass transition. So here are the velocity and vorticity profiles. For the left is zone zero and zone one, and the right is for the three zones. So you can see that when we remove the high frequency noise, we only have such fluctuations or such helical structures, but the lambda vortex and turbulence are not reached. Well, only when we serve the high frequency noise, we can obtain such hairpin vortices. And if we run it longer, we will get turbulence. So let's summarize the reported optimal route versus the previously reported conventional route. In the conventional route, we have high frequency inflow noise and low frequency inflow noise on the left. then the low frequency noise will lead to streaks. Then streaks will interact with the high frequency noise and leading to secondary instabilities. Then their saturation will develop to turbulence. However, in our optimal route reported in this work, we have three forms of inflow disturbance. So firstly, we have the low frequency noise, so we'll generate streaks. Then we have two forms of high frequency noise involved. They will disturb the streaks to generate two secondary waves. Then finally, the interaction of the instabilities will lead to an even more unstable profile. And this profile will be seeded by the higher frequency inflow noise. This is the last component of the inflow disturbance. And finally, they will lead to turbulence. So here is a summary of the perturbation avalanche we are reporting here. In the free stream perturbations, we have zone zero representing the low frequency noise that will act on the two-dimensional base flow through the linear and nonlinear lift up mechanism. The consequence is the generation of velocity streaks. Those streaks are unstable, and they will be seeded by zone one, that is the high frequency noise. They will show meandering motion, and this is called secondary instability. Then the meandering streaks will further lose instability to even higher frequency noise within zone two. And this, the consequence of this is turbulence. And this mechanism is tertiary instability. So you can see that from the top to bottom, we have linear lift up, which can be called the primary instability, followed by secondary instability and tertiary instability. So putting them together, we will have the transition to turbulence. Then the fourth part is the perturbation cascade in the vibrating plate flow. So here we have the plate vibrating at vertical velocity Vw equal to magnitude A times sine 2p omega Wt plus phi. So here phi is just a phase angle and omega W is a frequency. So here is the key result we observed. We also computed the most effective inflow disturbance. And what we found is that such an inflow disturbance is synchronized with the motion of the plate. So you can see on the bottom, when we have such plus minus perturbations reaching the plate and the plate is vibrating, then the synchronized motion of it will lead to such a profile. You can see that all the low speed streaks, the minor signs or the blue colors are on the top of the plate. This will generate an elongated streak. We know that without such a mechanism, we will have plus minus very short velocity streaks. Such a profile will be relatively stable because such streaks will not grow up to the threshold to lose secondary instability. However, due to this staggered synchronization, we have an elongated velocity structure, a velocity streak. From the top picture, you can see it even clearer. On the upper surface, we have low speed streak, and lower, we have the high speed streak. Please note that this is only in the 2D plane. If we take another spine-wise cross-section, we will have something similar, but the sign of the velocity streaks will be different. Anyway, here the point is that the synchronized motion of the oscillation of the plate and the inflow disturbance will lead to such elongated streaky profile above the plate. So here you can say that due to the surface vibration, such elongated structures are also locally deformed. There are some undulations over such low and high speed velocity streaks, particularly for the low speed streaks showing in the blue color here. Again, we have such growth of the mushroom moving from the upstream to downstream or moving with time. So here then, if we consider the vibration effect and the turbulent intensity effect, we can show how the boundary layer flow reacts to the inflow disturbance. When we have no vibration and no staggering effect, we can say that the strengths of the strix are quite weak. This is shown in the first picture. And when we have the staggering effect, elongated strix are generated. But when we have low level of free stream turbulence, we can say that there is almost no transition within the computational zone. Then when we further add the level of the free stream turbulence, we gradually have such meandering motions of the strix and the generation of helical structures and lambda vortices, and followed by such hairpin forests. Now here is a picture showing the skin friction. So here there are many curves. What I want to show is actually only this red color. This is the most interesting result. The red color represents, the red color curve represents the skin friction of the vibrating case with a large enough inflow disturbance. When we compare against those shown on the lower part of this page, where the oscillation of the plate is not considered, we can say that there is a very elongated growing process of the strix. So you can say that the right line just last from x equal to from 25 to 200 over this period, the strix is just slowly growing, and then suddenly after x equal to 200, it rises to be above the turbulent curve. Well, when we have no vibration effect shown on the lower half of on this page, you can see that the growth of the strix is a quite short process, and then it rises to the turbulence part. So here the dashed line shows the high turbulent intensity case. So here actually we are comparing the red curve on the top and the dashed line on the bottom. In this sense, we can say that the surface vibration actually delays the secondary instability and the transition to turbulence. Okay, if I make a quick conclusion, we have 3 points. So firstly, we reported a nonlinear lift up mechanism. So this is critical to bypass transition. It leads to an unstable profile of the strix, and then followed by a tertiary instability. And such instability is a part of the optimal route from inflow noise to bypass transition. So in this optimal route, we didn't observe the saturation of the most unstable mode, which is usually taken as the most important one. However, in the present work, we show that in our optimal scenario of transition, the interaction of multiple wave widths is more critical than the saturation of the most unstable one. And finally, we have observed a perturbation avalanche, so from the low speed, low frequency disturbance to high speed frequencies, high frequency noise. The low frequency one will generate velocity strix, then the higher frequency one will perturb those strix, leading to meandering motion. Then the higher frequency noise will perturb the meandering strix, leading to tertiary instability and transition. All right, thank you very much.